Good to see every one of you here. If you're visiting, you are an honored guest. We like to have visitors here at the Pulaski Church. As you could tell, and you've been reading for the last several minutes, are we really communicating with God? You know, communication is something we take for granted. Don't talk about too much. Now with text messaging, I think it's less and less talk. But anyway, that is talk of another kind. Let's talk about that a little bit today. You may remember parents. Do you ever have any communication problems with your children? Johnny, don't you remember... I asked you to make up your bed before you leave for school. Oh, I didn't hear you say that. It works the other way around. Little Susie turns to her father on Friday night and says, "Daddy, you promised me last week you were going to take me to the circus, and this tonight." Oh, he said, I must have misunderstood that. I didn't hear that. How about husbands and wives? No, that never happens, right? No, that never happens. "Well, honey, I asked you to do that." "Oh, you did? I didn't hear you say that." And, of course, my hearing is defective, so a lot of times that's true with me. But anyway, how about employer and employees? It's kind of important to pay attention to what the boss says. Then, very important. And also very important that you communicate to your boss in a meaningful manner that he can understand. But in an attempt to get us thinking about this morning, many years ago, I was doing a storm drain job on Hirschberger Road. That's before Jackie and I started our business. I was vice president of a utilities division of a company in Roanoke, and I had to bid the work and get it done. So I was out on the job. We did a storm drain, went right up the middle of Hirschberger Road. And it ended just past Friendship Manor. Some of you may know that area. Down at the bottom of that hill, I think there's a Honey Tree daycare center now at the bottom of that hill, just up from where the skating rink used to be. But anyway, we started down at the low end of that, and as we proceeded west, it got deeper and deeper. And the loader we were using was bigger than this one. It was a John Deere 644A. Good bit bigger than this rubber tire loader. The pipe we were laying was considerably bigger than what you see in the background. We were laying, as I recall, a 60-inch pipe, five feet inside diameter, and then time you figure the wall thickness of the pipe, and then the concrete pipe, you got a pretty good-sized bell, okay? And we're inside a trench box for safety, so you got to have room inside the box outside the bell of the pipe, and then you've got the two wall thicknesses of the box. Then you've got to have some room outside of that for the backhoe to be able to pull the trench box. So we're about 14 feet wide, about 14 feet deep. So there's a lot of dirt. There's mountains of dirt. So we were laying pipe there one day, and one of the men came over to me and said, "Wayne," he said, "that lady on that corner lot, she wants a bucket of dirt." I said, "Well, we got plenty of dirt." I said, "So I went to the loader operator. I said, get a bucket of dirt." It was a chain link. You know the chain link fences were 36 or 42 inches high. She had that fence around her yard. It was a corner right on the lot, corner lot there. So rubber tire machine, of course, you can go up over the curb. Won't hurt the curb. A little short stretch of grass. And then he took that bucket and just dumped that over in her yard, right? Okay, well, So we went back to laying pipe. And we laid pipe a little while, and one of the other men came to me and said, "Mr. Dixon, that lady over there, she's really upset. She wants to see you. She wants to see who's in charge of the job. You need to go talk to her." I said, "Okay." So I walked across, went on behind the backhoe, and headed toward the lot. She must have seen me coming. And she said, "Mr. Dixon," she said, "I wanted a bucket of dirt." She said, I wanted a bucket of dirt. I was embarrassed. And of course, I said, "Man, I am so sorry." But it's pretty obvious you and I are talking about different buckets. I thought I was communicating with her. She thought she was communicating with me. But we weren't on the same page. "Oh, my grass is going to die." I said, "No, we'll get the dirt up. We'll get the dirt up." So, emptied the bucket, went over there with an empty bucket, sat down outside the fence. 2 hours later, they had put that back in the bucket, and she said, "My grass is going to die." I said, "No, we'll rake the grass," and got all the dirt off. And I said, "Well, now we're going to give you a bucket of dirt." That's all she wanted. Yeah. Miscommunication. Let's look at a definition, and this one is from Webster's Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Most of you are familiar with that name. That's what it says in part. Communication, a process by which information is exchanged between individuals through a common system of symbols, signs, or behavior. Let's look at that just a moment. Most of you remember Morse code. You've heard about it, maybe. Some of you may have used it. The Morse code was a system of symbols, was it not, to communicate. How about semaphore? That's semaphore, semaphore. Now, my dad was in that capacity in the Navy. It was this, you had a colored flag, two flags. And every letter of the alphabet, so you were spelling words with flags, communicating to another ship. How about the maritime signal flags to put up the mast? Okay, in wartime, in periods of radio silence, you could communicate one ship to the next with those flags, communicating. All right. Jack and I got to go to Australia. I got to go twice. One of the times I was there, I saw on the rock wall, the Aboriginals had put figurines. They were communicating. How about in this country? The American Indian with the smoke signal, right? Communication. Now, it also talks this definition, symbols, signs, or behavior. Now, when that American Indian put war paint on, that signaled a change in behavior, didn't it? Yeah. How about when Franklin Roosevelt said, "We can assume we're in a state of war with the Empire of Japan"? Changed a lot of behavior, didn't it? That communication. So we're familiar with that. Let's look at one. We'll look at one on the another definition is what I want to look at. There we go. Communication is a system process of transmission, reception, and processing information between two or more locations through transmission medium. Now look at the examples. You're not familiar with this. But it's a good reminder, people to people, or as I'm doing, people to peoples, computer to computer, or if you're networked, it's computer to computers, people to computer, and with AI, it's computer to people, right? Because it works the other way around as well. I want to ask you, as we continue this morning, as we think of prayer to God, it's a worldwide thing. And sometimes in our Bible studies, we get involved with Bible studies around the world. World Video Bible School and some other programs of that type use that wonderful cell phone device that you and I have. But there's a difference in communicating with God. And the big difference is not everyone can communicate with God. Now, a lot of folks think they're communicating, but they're not. It says here, beloved, we'll give all diligence to write unto you common salvation. This is talking about contending for the faith and being earnest in that. I want to go back a couple of these slides and go from here. And I want you to pay close attention, please, to this verse. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now God just doesn't hear sinners. Now, we know that God is omnipotent. That meaning, of course, he's having all power. We know he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And we know that he's omnipresent. And that means he's present everywhere all the time. But there's some things he just doesn't recognize. Let me give you this example. Two verses. Proverbs, in this case, it's Proverbs 28 and verse 9, I want to read to you. A lot of people in the world today have a problem with this. Okay? Proverbs 28, verse 9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Peter 3:12, along the same line of this verse. If you want a parallel passage, I've given you one in Proverbs, let me give you one in the New Testament. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now this, because God is omnipotent, He knows everything. In Job 34 and 21, it says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, he seeth all his goings. He knows everything about it. He knows everything that's going on. You might say, well, how is it? You said he doesn't hear the prayers. Well, he just refuses to recognize those prayers. Yes, he knows what's going on. He knows what's being said 24/7. But he does not recognize the prayers of folks who are not Christians. I got this recently from something Alan Webster wrote. Listen to this. Sin stops the flow of God's blessings. Okay? Sin stops the flow of God's blessings. Although an estimated 500,000 tons of water rush over Niagara Falls every minute. On March 29th, 1948, the falls suddenly stopped. Can you imagine the Niagara Falls just stopping? That happened. People living within the sound of the falls were awakened by what? The silence woke them up. Some believe it was a sign that the world was coming to an end. It was 30 hours before the rush of water resumed. So 30 hours, the water did not go over Niagara Falls. what happened. Heavy winds jammed the ice fields of Lake Erie into the entrance of the Niagara River near Buffalo. The spring meltdown jammed the water so it didn't flow. Stopped the water's flow for 30 hours. Now, sin does that to the Niagara of God's blessings. On the other hand, James promises to hear the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, we could talk to God 24/7 if you're a Christian and you pray in the name of Jesus. You can be heard, and He will hear you. How is that possible? How does He hear us? How is it possible that He hears us? It's because of Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus." You may remember some of the old, some of us almost old enough to remember seeing this, but the rotary phone, and you, in a seeing old movie, you see a bunch of ladies and a switchboard, right? They were just busy. Jesus does that for us. Jesus makes our connection so we can talk 24/7, no drop calls, no dead batteries, no cell tower problems. So all the time, we can be talking to God on a regular basis, and that's a wonderful thing. Now, sometimes folks teach falsely that they pray to God and they want an immediate answer. These televangelists, you may have seen them. Somebody comes up on the stage with an ailment, and this so-called preacher prays, and he says, "Now, God, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you right now. Let's hear from you." That's blasphemy. That's what that is. All that is. 100% blasphemy. One other thing we want to keep in mind to help us understand this is that He's done all of His talking. It's over. And we have a messianic invitation to learn that. You want to know what God says? What did I read this week on a marquee? If you think God is not talking to you, maybe your Bible is closed. Right? That's what it is. We got an invitation. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and in lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Look in the middle of this. "And learn of me." I know Teddy Roosevelt. I know him. You say, "What do you think? What are you talking about, Wayne? He died way before you." Well, I know him. He was a prolific writer. And I've read many of his books. I could tell you about his extended safari in Africa with his son Kermit, and they collected species of African game for museums in the United States. I could tell you about his ventures out west in the Rocky Mountains, and how he would go out there by himself on horseback with some coffee and hardtack and a little bit of salt and some jerky, and stay days by himself in the Rocky Mountains. In a pouring down rain, he had what they call a slicker. Oil, it's an oil-coated cloth. Put that around him, and he slept on his saddle bag, rather his saddle, He'd lay down with his head on the saddle, with the slicker on, and sleep all night in the pouring down rain. I could tell you about how he almost died in the Amazon. How can I tell you that? How can I know? If he'd come in here and we could think back and use our imagination, if he came in this morning and security would allow me, I could sit down and talk with him just like I'm talking to you. Because I know him. We can do the same thing, and the Lord is asking us to do the same thing. Having a little trouble with my slides this morning. Let me see if I can get this back where it belongs. Now, you know, this verse is a verse you and I have been memorized a long time ago, right? You and I have memorized a long time ago. It's so important to us to know that occurred. He loved us first, and that he sent his Son, because if we perish, not have everlasting, we'll have everlasting life. But there's something else we want to be thankful for. He had Jesus come up out of the grave after 3 days, did he not? And wander around on this earth for 40 days. And then ascended back to sit at the right hand of God. So that verse is telling us that also. He loves us that much. Now, Jesus right now is multitasking for all of us. And one of the things he's doing is being a mediator for our prayers that go up to him. And that's a wonderful thing, to know that he's there. How could all this happen? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It's a wonderful thing that God involved the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the entire Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are involved in this wonderful thing of communicating with God. Because we got the Word by way of the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you to all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he show you things to come. Now we have a responsibility. This slide came up before its time, but it's due right now, and that means this. You and I have a responsibility. We get the Word, and let's say we study the Word, and we become Christians. We have a responsibility. And one of those things we have a responsibility for, as you've done here, Pulaski, and I mentioned in the Bible class, you've contended earnestly. You've stood four square on the gospel. A lot of churches can't say that. A lot of Christians can't say that. But you can. In addition to that, recognize what it says at the end, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Once delivered is past tense, isn't it? We've gotten all of what we're going to get. He said everything he's going to say. And the rest is up to us. Now, most of you remember from your studies Acts chapter 12. At the very first of that chapter, James was killed. We have the record of James being killed. Peter's next. They've got him in prison. But what did the Jerusalem church do? It tells us here. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but the prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. What did that Jerusalem church do? They got word that Peter was in prison. They got word he was going to be killed just like James was. And they prayed. And it says here they prayed without ceasing. Wonderful results. We look at being praying without ceasing. That's what they did. You've read that several times. You've studied that before, 1 Thessalonians 5, 5:17, but what does that mean? Well, you're not walking around praying all day long. That's not possible. What it means is your mind, your state of mind during your waking hours are such that you can stop and utter prayer at any time. A prayerful attitude. That's what that is talking about. And you and I have that ability. It's not easy, but you and I can do that. Now, you and I know that Timothy and Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, were the last, scholars tell us they're the last three epistles that Paul wrote. Okay. And he died a couple years later when Nero beheaded him. So he's saying something as he knows he's getting ready to die, and he's talking to his son. What kind of advice would you give your son at any time, but particularly when you know you were facing death, you were about to part, and you wouldn't see him anymore in this life, and you wanted to give him the best advice you could give him? And what do you tell him? Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman. It is hard work that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. My slides are not working very well today. So I'm going to... Yeah. Let me finish by saying this. What kind of answers? We talked about prayer. We're talking how we pray. How that you've got to be a Christian to be heard. You've got to pray in the name of Jesus. That's all that's required. Be a Christian and pray in the name of Jesus. We tried to document that with scriptures this morning. We've heard that if you're not a Christian, God does not recognize your prayer. He knows everything. He hears everything. But He just won't recognize your prayer if you're not a Christian. What kind of answers can you get? You can get a yes, you can get a no, and you get a wait a while. Let's look at these right briefly as we finish up. How about Elijah? If you want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah prayed in this verse that rain would stop, that be no rain, no dew, no moisture. What kind of answer did he get? He got a yes, didn't he? Yes, he did. It stopped raining. He prayed again, and we read in 1 Kings 18, verse 45, he prayed again. What did he get? He got a yes. He prayed for rain. He prayed for it stop in 17:1. His prayer was answered. He prayed that it would commence or resume in 18:45, and he got a yes. Now let's look at a no. Paul prayed, as most of you know, recorded in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9. Paul prayed three times. He had some type of physical malady. We don't know what it was. Bible describes it as a thorn in his side. He prayed once, God said no. He prayed twice, God said no. He prayed the third time, God said no. But look what the next verse says. My grace is sufficient for you. How about you? I would trade a physical malady any day for the grace of God. Wouldn't you? Oh yeah, you sure would. Now, how about wait a while? Let's look at Hannah. If you want to turn it to that particular verse, Hannah, that's over in 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah prayed to God. Okay? She prayed. But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, but because the Lord had shut up her womb. And verse 7, as he did so year by year. She went up to the house of the Lord. So he provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. So Hannah prayed 1 year. She get an answer? No. She was getting one, but she didn't know what it was. Right? She was getting an answer. She just didn't know what it was. She kept praying, kept going up year by year. How many years, we're not told. Now look at the end of that chapter, or the middle of it, really, verses 19 and 20, Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. I want you to remember that verse. Remember the end of that verse. End of verse 19. And the Lord remembered her. You think maybe she was doubting a little bit by now? Yeah. I pray another year. Is he hearing me? Yeah. The Lord remembered her. And when it came to pass, when the time was come about Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. Samuel turned out to be a fantastic prophet. He even had a prophet school, a school of prophecy, where he taught under the authority of God. So that's the answers you can get. You've got to pray according to his will. Be like a young man wants to be an astronaut and he's colorblind. It's not going to happen. You've got to pray according to his will. Remember this verse. James 5 verse 19b, 5:18b. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does it take? Well, it takes an effectual fervent prayer. It's got to be effectual. It's got to be fervent. And who has it got to come from? It's got to come from a Christian. And if you do that, as we saw in the case of Hannah, it availed much, didn't it? Having a son was a much to her. That's the kind of answers you can get. So this morning, I tried to cover prayer as best I could with the idea of he hears us, he doesn't hear those folks. And I gave you some verses there in case you're talking to someone about this. You could just let them know. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what God said. You're not going to hear your prayer if you're not a Christian. It's not going to happen. You're not being cruel when you say that. You're just giving God's will. Then we, on the other hand, need to be sure we pray in the name of Jesus. Pray a prayer that's not against his will, and that's effectual and it's fervent. Now this morning, if you're not a Christian, God's plan is laid out in his word. Hear, believe, repent, and confess, and be baptized. It's a five-step plan to be a Christian. And then you're on your way in a Christian life. But you've got to stay that way till the end. You've got to stay faithful to your last breath, Matthew 10:22. And then, if you happen to be a Christian here this morning with sin in your life, God's got provision for that too. He's taking care of everything in His Word. Romans 10:9-10. You come forward and we'll pray with you and pray for you, and you'll be restored to your first love. Please come while together we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling to home.